Your daily dose of sports talk is here. Highlights, interviews, and analysis. From the entertainment capital of the world, Sports Wrap with Jason Page starts now.
Yes, it does, and great to have you with us on this Tuesday edition of the show. A lot to do over the next 60 minutes on over 260 affiliates across the United States and Canada. Don't forget our friends watching north of the border on Game Plus. We love you guys. Or if you're watching us on the YouTube, Sports Wrap with Jason Page YouTube channel. Every show there, Monday through Friday. 45 minutes, commercial free. We appreciate that as well. Robin Lundberg will be here a little later in the show. Get into it with him on the WNBA, which got started over the weekend. Interested to get his thoughts on the Caitlin Clark, Paige Beckers conversation. I think it has the capability to be like the Magic versus Bird of the next decade in the WNBA. I really do. Both of them such special talents. And I'll give you an opinion on who I think is actually going to wind up being the better of the two players. It may surprise you coming up. Sam Yarnell will be here. Help me break down the NBA coming up a little later on. Should we worry about Shohei Ohtani? Should fans of the Dodgers be worried about Shohei? He's only hitting 235 going into May 12th. Seems a little low. At what point does worry start to creep in? We'll get into that. Odds and ends with more leaks or more revelations about the NFL schedule, which will be announced fully on Thursday. All of that coming up a little later on in the show, but we start things out as we always do on this Tuesday. It's time for the big story. And the big story today is presented by our friends at Colossus Fantasy. Download the app today. If you love pick 'em games, fantasy, peer-to-peer, they've got it all. Download the app, and on your first deposit, use my promo code SPORTSWRAP. If you're not watching the show and listening, I'll spell it for you. SPORTSWRAP. Use my promo code SPORTSWRAP right now. Go and get yourself a great deposit bonus. On a $10 deposit, just $10, you're getting yourself a $40 bonus. Put in 10, you have 50 to play with. If you put in a $20 deposit, you're getting an $80 bonus. So you put in 20 and you have $100 to play with. Again, use my promo code SPORTSWRAP right now. Go and get yourself a great deposit bonus from our friends at Colossus Fantasy. Download today and start winning. All right. The Lakers were not winning last night. Their season came to an end at the hands of the Oklahoma City Thunder, who are just, I mean, look, they're a lot to handle right now. They've won 8 in a row to start this postseason. They're the only team playing better right now, I think you can argue, than the New York Knicks. And frankly, I could still argue the Knicks are playing better right now, having done what they've accomplished. But what you had, you know, last night was the potential end of a career. A lot of people won't want to sit here and have that conversation, and I don't think it's the end of LeBron James' career, but there's certainly a lot of people out there that are going to wonder if what we saw last night was LeBron James finishing his career. Could he continue playing? Absolutely. I don't think there's any question that LeBron, if he wants to, can continue playing probably till he's 45 at this point. And that's not crazy to say. He's 41. He just finished his 23rd season. He averaged almost 21 points a game, 7 assists, 6 rebounds. Think about that for a second. And how many times throughout the season he had to carry this Lakers team because of various injuries. And he was better in the playoffs. Averaged 23 in the playoffs. 6.7 rebounds. 7.3 assists. I mean, I know that people, and LeBron after the game said the stuff that you know he's going to say, and we'll talk about it a little later on with our friend Sam Yarnell about what it all means, where he could wind up playing this year. We'll have that conversation later. But on the GOAT stuff, because the GOAT thing tends to be where a lot of people go. Who's the greatest of all time, right? And I want to give some flowers to Jay Williams. Jay Williams brought up a fantastic point on ESPN last week when him and Stephen A. Smith debated this issue. And it's great for talk radio and sports radio and all this stuff about the greatest of all time. Fine. But when you really start to think about it, is it even fair to compare LeBron James and Michael Jordan, if that's the debate? Is it even fair? Because their greatness is on so many different levels and in so many different ways. Jordan's career was over, you know, a long time before. And frankly, you could even argue, you know, I mean, he had a couple of decent games with the Wizards, but I mean, his career was essentially already over at that point. LeBron is 41 and still a vibrant player in the game. He's in his 23rd. I want you to think about this. His 23rd season in the league, the guy averaged 23-7-6 in the playoffs. No matter what you think of Michael Jordan, he was never capable of being that good that late in his sports professional life. And I'm not saying Jordan isn't the greatest or anything like that. This isn't a shot at Jordan. Because I think so much of this has to be you either hate LeBron and love Jordan or hate Jordan and love LeBron. I could appreciate both. I know that's not popular in today's sports media culture where you gotta hate on one and throw your flowers at the other. I know that's not the popular thing to do. But I can love both of them and appreciate both of them because I was lucky enough to live during both of those eras and was able to watch them. I don't think LeBron's finished. If it is, it's one of the top one or two greatest NBA careers of all time. No matter what you want to throw out there, idiots like Skip Bayless are out there talking about he's the ninth best player of all time. You're a moron. You're a moron. And you're a moron just for the sake of being a moron. And the fact that somebody looks at you and says, wow, I want to hear this guy's opinion, is mind-blowing. Because you're just hate watching if you're watching. But I don't understand the hatred and the disdain for LeBron. People trying to always find a reason or a way to knock him down. Step back. Try to ingest it objectively. Take the bias out of it one way or another and appreciate the greatness that has been LeBron. Good news is, I think you're going to have more of it to watch for at least another year or two. We've got more to say about the NBA. Sam Yarnell will be here next. Welcome back to the show. Good to have you with us on this glorious Tuesday. Robin Lundberg in 10 minutes to talk about the WNBA start of the season. Look ahead at what is to come. Oh my God, the Las Vegas Aces got blown out on opening day, and I laugh because they were basically terrible for 25 games last year and still won the WNBA title. So that wasn't even the best thing from the weekend for the WNBA. The one and only Sam Yarnell is here, hanging out with us as always. Get into some of the NBA stuff from the playoffs last night. And you know what? Cleveland, you know, at home, Cleveland has been a vastly different team than Cleveland on the road. James Harden has been a vastly different player at home versus on the road. But Donovan Mitchell was the story last night, going for 39 in the second half alone. You might want to put a man on that guy, or two, or three, Sam. And you know what? Donovan Mitchell is good for one of these games, it feels like, in every series. And this was that game last night, but it does draw the Cavaliers even at two. And, you know, whereas I kind of felt like it was a fait accompli that we were going to be talking about a Knicks-Pistons Eastern Conference final. By the way, nobody happier than the Knicks watching the Cavaliers and Pistons beat the crap out of each other here for the next, you know, week if they're lucky. You know, Mitchell put out a hell of an effort last night with 39 in the second half, an NBA record.
Yeah, it was certainly an impressive half out of Spida. I think that
say that again. Hardest, do that one more time. Say that one more time for me, please.
It was certainly an impressive half out of Spida, out of Donovan Spida. Mitchell.
Spida. Thank you.
Yeah. It's a great nickname. One of the best in the NBA right Spida. Now, I would argue.
Spida.
The problem is, and Jason, I find myself now having the same problem in the Timberwolves Spurs series in the game that's going to go on tonight. It just feels like a waste of time watching these games at any point. You know that neither of these teams. No, you know, and you know just as well, right? Because you've said on this show, the Knicks don't make the finals this year. They should fire their freaking head coach.
I agree. You said that.
That's not even a me thing. That's a you thing. So all that seeing, like you said, these teams just keep to beat up on each other and extend this series and get further and further from a winner. The Knicks are just, we saw what the Knicks just did to Philadelphia after they had to do exactly this in the previous round. They're going to wipe the floor with them. It's not even going to be a series. And the exact same thing could be said in the Western Conference too, because I wouldn't give the Cavaliers or the Pistons any shot to beat the Knicks. And I'm after an at least six game series, I'm not going to give the Spurs or let alone the Timberwolves a chance to beat the Thunder. It's really unfortunate for the NBA, but we're trending towards an all blue and orange final.
I'll get to the West in a second. I do think if it comes down to the Pistons and the Knicks, I think the Pistons get a couple of games just on sheer intensity, just from what they do from a physicality standpoint. I think that series will bruise up the Knicks a little bit. Frankly, I think what the Thunder and Knicks are going through right now, they should enjoy it, because I think both of their conference finals are going to be compelling. I think the Knicks win. I think the Knicks have an easier time, obviously, than the Thunder do with the Spurs. Especially, look, if the Thunder are still missing Jalen Williams, I mean that's a huge piece that I think against the Spurs, you need a lot more than you do against some of these other teams that they've been playing so far. They've been able to get away without having, you know, Jalen Williams. And, you know, against the Spurs, they're going to miss his presence, particularly in that backcourt with some of the things that San Antonio can do. But much like the Knicks, the Thunder now, to kind of shift it to the West, are certainly in a position where they're just like, hey, you guys go as long as you want. You know, we'll be plenty rested. And then there is the conversation of too much rest. You know, you can't afford to really give away a game if you're the Thunder in a potential conference finals with the Spurs. And there's a chance they come out in game one flat, and the Spurs can steal game one of that series, given the fact they're going to be in a rhythm, they're going to have been playing. And everybody who says, well, you know, coming off a long series and going against Oklahoma City, well, the reality is this, Sam. They've played Oklahoma City so much. And again, these teams out in the West know each other so well. We saw that with Denver and Minnesota, that I don't think that comes into play nearly as much.
Yeah, the rest versus rust thing to me is really not a concern with Oklahoma City. You just saw them go over a week between when their series with the Sun ended, their sweep of the Suns ended, and when their sweep of the Lakers started. I think that team is just too young. They don't have enough. You know, we talk rest versus rust. We're really talking about the older guys. We're talking about the guys who have been around the league for 8-10 years. The Thunder simply just don't have that. Hilariously enough, they just don't have a guy who's old enough to potentially get rusty because of this break. I do disagree with you, though. I think the Thunder are going to walk past whoever they play in the Western Conference Finals. I think the Knicks are also going to walk past whoever they play in the Eastern Conference Finals. But I think you're looking at a four-game series in the West, and you might be looking at like a five or a six-game series.
You think the Thunder are going to sweep? You think they can even potentially sweep the San Antonio Spurs?
With the way that Victor Wembanyama's playing, between getting injured or thrown out of half of the games in that Timberwolves series, yes, I'm going to believe that
the
Thunder can sweep the Spurs.
39-15 just a few days ago. But by the way, this guy was great. A.J. Mitchell. How good was A.J. Mitchell? For those who can't see, I'm holding up a A.J. Mitchell rookie card that just happens to be sitting in a pile of cards here. Because I've just got cards laying all over the studio. Fantastic effort from AJ Mitchell last night, which again speaks to the depth. And a lot of times, you know, you see rotations get tightened when you get to the postseason. We haven't even talked about Jared McCain, how good Jared McCain has been, you know, mm-hmm. and again, talk about that Sam Presti move to deal for Jared McCain during the season with that, you know, litany of draft picks that they have that is so expendable. Jared McCain, every time he gets on the floor, he gets an open look and he's making threes left and right. Does feel, and let me ask you this, just, and we got plenty of time to preview this. Knicks Thunder in the final. How many is it? Really? You don't even think the Knicks can? Really?
That's what the finals is going to be, but how many games?
Really? You don't think the Knicks?
I mean, six if you're lucky. I think they could. I think there's a world that the Knicks could steal two, because at that point, realistically, the Thunder will probably have won 12 of their last 13 games.
Knicks playing really well right now. It's scary.
They are.
We're coming back. Robin Lundberg next. Welcome back to the show. Let's talk some WNBA. I was all jazzed up for this. I would have done it yesterday, but we had a lot going on. So we bring in our friend Robin Lundberg. Does a great job with SI on women's basketball, the Robin Lundberg Show online. You could also catch him on Sirius XM. He's everywhere. He's a grinder. We love it. So what do they say? 2.7 million people tuned in for the Fever Wings opener, I think it was. You can go look it up. I don't know. It was a lot. And I have to say, Robin, that was a thoroughly entertaining start to the WNBA season. And I kind of put it out there, and I'm curious to get your thoughts. Could Caitlin Clark, Paige Beckers be like one of those really special rivalries in all of sports that we see for the next decade?
Absolutely. I mean, look, obviously Caitlin Clark has the Angel Reese rivalry because you go to college and this and carries over into the league. But the difference between that and Paige is Paige and Caitlin is a purely basketball rivalry, right? Like Paige was, before Caitlin burst on the scene, you know, one of those players, perhaps the most hyped player that we had ever seen in women's basketball. She got, you know, injured. Caitlin did what she did, but now Paige back healthy. She wins the championship at UConn, the prestigious program, and they're both guards, right? Like, they, you know, they're not exactly the same player. They're not matching up on every possession, but they're matching up on some of the possessions. And it's a natural basketball rivalry in the sense that also Paige, you know, Angel's a good player who helps her team, no question. But Paige is a elite MVP, all WNBA level player like Caitlin. So you have two players who people can argue about who's better. They can go head to head, and they, you know, the basketball aspect of it carries it.
Robin, give me Paige. I said last year when I've watched her, I think she's going to wind up being, I think she winds up surpassing Caitlin Clark. I really do. I think she is such a special player. And I love watching her out there. Plus the problem with Caitlin Clark is the injury stuff. Even in this game on what was it, Saturday, you know, she's grabbing at her groin, and it just seems like they're having such a difficult time trying to figure out how to keep her healthy. And that feels like as much a storyline of the Fever this year as it does anything.
Well, you know, a couple things on that, because that would have been the knock on Paige, that she was never healthy. She was out with the knee injuries, you know, like, so, you know, that's part of sports too. And I think Caitlin's under such a different microscope, because I asked the question about her going back to the locker room, you know, in Indianapolis. And she said it was getting her back adjusted. And then Stephanie White, who's the coach, said that's part of being a professional athlete, said yesterday at practice, there's other players doing various adjustments. You're just not like focusing on that. So anytime you hear back, a little bit of a alarm goes off. I'm not saying there's nothing to that, but I think she was just like messing with her compression shorts or something, not like the actual groin area. I don't think she has an injury. I think this is actual maintenance. And in defense of her durability, last year was the only time she's ever been injured. So I don't know if, you know, we've gotten enough to say like it's an actual injury concern, durability concern, because that same thinking would apply to Paige or really any athlete who's missed some time.
The one thing I think is in her favor for being healthier is the change in the rules. And we saw it in that game, just how much more tightly these games are going to be officiated, and almost to the degree that it's going to help players stay, I think, healthier, Robin.
Yeah, and I think what you also saw from Caitlin was she attacked the basket, which she didn't do as much last year. She was 5 for 5 within 5 feet in that game and really made it a point to get to the rim. And that's where, you know, she and Paige are different. Like, Caitlin is more athletic. She is better taking it to the basket. She is better, obviously, from way deep. Paige is better in the in-between areas and creating that space to get her own shot there. Caitlin's a better playmaker. Defensively, they're probably both around in the same ballpark, I think. But, you know, they bring different things to the floor, which makes it interesting. And, yeah, to your point, I think the book on Caitlin had been guard her all the way down the court, you know, rough her up, grab her, push her, shove her, whatever you can get away with. And if that starts becoming a whistle, all of a sudden she's going to be getting free points and free trips to the free throw line, which could pad her numbers too.
Las Vegas got blown out in their opener. And as much as people might look at it, it's one game, but I mean, they stunk for like 22 or 23 games last year and wound up winning a championship. I wonder how much that is a hindrance to them this year, because a lot of those players in that locker room will look at Becky Hammon and say, yeah, but last year we stunk for the first half of the season and then we wound up winning a championship. I almost wonder if that team could sort of take the regular season for granted given what they did last year so late.
Yeah, I was surprised how much they turned it around last year. But the other thing is, you don't want to like flirt with something because you did it before, right? Like, it's like, you know, I came back from being way down gambling before, so I'm going to be way down gambling again. Like, and then you don't come back the next time. So that the Aces are an interesting team to watch because they're also aging a little bit. You know, Chelsea Gray aging a little bit. I wouldn't say Asia's aging, but, you know, you never know as a career progresses, the more mileage you put on the tires. Jackie Young is one of the best two-way players in the league, so they still have a lot of talent. But I think we're seeing a trend towards some of these really explosive offenses. And that's where I wonder if Las Vegas can keep up the same rate. Like, for instance, we'll go back to the Wings and the Fever. WNBA teams averaged 87 points per game over the first two games of the season, which was a record. Well, that Fever Wings game was 107-104. So that average of 87 that was a record, they like went way over it. And I think those two teams and the Liberty are going to be able to score at a way that I'm not so sure how many teams in the league can compete with.
All right, the lazy interview question. Here it is. The storyline outside of what we just talked about, the storyline you're most keyed on in for this regular season is?
I mean, there's a lot of them. you know, you got the expansion teams launching for the first time. I think you've got the contrast between the Chicago Sky and also, obviously, the Atlanta Dream with how Angel Reese went one place to the other. You've got but the Valkyries, what they do in their second season, the Liberty I just mentioned. But how about Olivia Miles? We'll go with that. Olivia Miles, to me, is going to be super the favorite for Rookie of the Year, like by quite a bit. And if Nafisa Collier can get healthy, she might have a chance to be on a contending team as well. So watching how the Lynx do with some of the pieces that they lost and Olivia Miles in place, aside from those big marquee names, that would be the story.
Robin Lundberg, terrific job as always. SiriusXM NBA Radio, not NBA Radio, sorry, SiriusXM Radio, Mad Dog Radio. You can catch him there also with the Robin Lundberg Show as well. Thank you, my friend.
You got it.
Thanks to Robin Lundberg for hanging out with us on the WNBA stuff. Always good to get into it with him. Covers it like nobody else. Sam Yarnell. We're now starting the LeBron James dance for the next several months. Will he or won't he come back? I think it's less a conversation of will he or won't he come back, and more conversation of where will he come back to following what we saw in the Lakers being swept by the Thunder last night. Hell of an effort. By the way, of all the postseason games we've watched, that might have been one of the more fun postseason games that we've had, even though the Lakers lost. Like, just the atmosphere in LA, that they just want to be entertained. They knew they weren't winning the series at that point, but there was the hope maybe they could steal a game, maybe swipe a game and make Oklahoma City go win it on their home court. That was a fun game last night with LeBron and SGA trading threes. There's a key possession, by the way, and we didn't talk about this in the segment where we talked about the playoffs. There was a key possession in that game, though, where I think the Lakers are down one or two with, like, I don't know, a minute 45 left, something like that. I'm close on the times. And LeBron gets a rebound, and he turns the ball over right away in the backcourt. And the Thunder get back. They wind up getting an easy two off it. It turns a two-point game or a one-point game into a three-point game or a four-point game. And you're just going, oh, not now. And you got a chance to actually steal a game against this Thunder juggernaut, and they're not able to do it. But the questions after the game obviously went to LeBron on his future and what he's going to do. Talked about regrouping with his family. He's going to obviously think it over, Sam, but I don't think LeBron goes out this way. I don't think LeBron goes out on the heels of a sweep at the hands of potentially the NBA champion Oklahoma City Thunder. But here's the things you have to ask yourself if you're LeBron. And I think this is what it comes down to. What are you coming back? What are you trying to accomplish if you're coming back? Because what situation are you going to, if it's about trying to win one more ring, what situation are you going to that potentially gets you a ring in 26-27? Golden State? No. Stay with the Lakers? No. I think, frankly, almost anything in the West, and he's not going to the Spurs, short of, you know, going to a contender out of the West, no. So where are you going to potentially get yourself a shot at one more ring, to play in another NBA final? And that takes me to the East. It takes me to Cleveland. It takes me to New York for the Knicks. If you're trying to win a title and you're LeBron James at 49 years old, Sam, I don't know how you're staying even in the Western Conference at this point.
Well, and I'll tell you what, Jason, I first of all completely agree with you with your point about the Western Conference. And there are about a bazillion reasons why, right? You mentioned the things with the Lakers. Does anyone remember the falling out from 2 months ago between him and Jeannie Buss? Yeah, that's not going to happen again. You're right. He's not going to go to the Spurs. He's not going to go to the Western Conference. It's too ultra competitive, and he's not going to be able to get, or it's not ultra competitive enough, I guess, also in a sense, because he's not getting to the Spurs. He's not getting to the Thunder, and those two teams are going to battle it out for the Western Conference championship over the course of the next 5 years, and I don't think anyone would disagree with me on that. The East is where LeBron James will go, but it would be very hard for me to see him going back to Cleveland again, trying to do that again. And also, not to mention, you've got James Harden on that team. We know about LeBron's relationship with James Harden, and you look around the rest of that team, and it's not who LeBron wants to play with. It's not young whippersnappers who have their entire future in front of them. And unfortunately, the same is exactly the case with the New York Knicks, right? LeBron is not walking into a young locker room in New York, right? He's walking into a locker room where a lot of those guys have been pretty far in the playoffs. Like, let's call a spade a spade. Cat has been pretty far in the playoffs with multiple teams. Like, LeBron is not going to be able to walk into that Knicks locker room and be what LeBron has shown us over the 20 years he's been in the NBA. He wants to be not only to his team, but also to the league, which brings me to, in my opinion, in my, again, biased opinion, the most legitimate suitor for LeBron James in this offseason. It's a city where he can go and play at some of the most magnificent golf courses in the world. We all know he's a golf guy, and I would bet you dollars to donuts that next season he's playing a lot of golf on off days. This is a place where he can play tons of golf for a majority of the NBA season. This is an international city where LeBron can continue to build his legacy outside of basketball. It's the Washington Wizards. LeBron James needs to go to Washington and play for the Wizards. You look at, not only is this team coming up on the number one overall pick in a generational draft, obviously that's there. You've also got Alex Saar, a number two overall pick from 2 years ago. You've also got salary cap capital out the wazoo in Washington. LeBron can do exactly what he wants. He can come into a team with young players who are ready to win, and he can bring in his, you know, old veteran buddies who are out there and looking to get traded. I'm looking straight at you, Giannis, and I'm looking straight at you, Jaylen Brown. It legitimately would not surprise me, Jason, if we saw LeBron at least talking to the Washington Wizards before this this offseason ends.
Sam is going to work on, he's got a million jobs as it is. Sam's going now to work for the Washington, D.C. Chamber of Commerce, as he has just made his pitch to LeBron James on behalf of the city, the district, if you will, the DMV, the lovely DMV. I'd still be shocked if he wound up there. But, you know, you make a compelling argument as a Wizards fan. You do make a compelling argument, counselor. However, I just don't see it. And I think he's willing to take a role in the final seconds here of this segment. I think he's willing to take a role where he doesn't have to be that guy. I think this season has had to have been exhausting for him, which is why he's pretending that it could potentially be the end. But we all know it isn't. We're coming back. We got your odds and ends coming up in 10 minutes. NFL continuing to release some of its schedule in dribs and drabs this week. First Monday Night Football game announced after the first Sunday Night game was announced right after we finished putting together the show yesterday, of course. That's the only way they can do it. Sam Yarnell. I didn't realize that Shohei Ohtani's only hitting 235 right now. And one of the things I have always said, that when he is a fully two-way player, that it felt like something had to give, something had to suffer a little bit. And remember, because of the injuries pitching-wise, it always feels like we've never really gotten a full season of two-way Shohei. And maybe you can look. I should have looked at this before I put together the segment. Out of all his years in the major leagues, how many years has he gone fully two ways? You know, because of, you know, one thing or another. Not that many. If I go back and sort of recollect, just off the top of my head, going back to, you know, when he came in as a rookie. And it does point to the fact, I mean, he was 0-for-4 last night, sitting 235 on the season, 6 home runs. You know, for showy pedestrian numbers here in the early going. Giants beat the Dodgers last night, by the way, Sam Yarnell. At what point, how many games in? I'm not saying it's now, but at what point will you start to worry if you're the Dodgers about Shohei at the top of that lineup if the numbers just don't seem to be adding up the way they used to?
Never. Not at all. So here's the thing. So your question, have we ever seen him fully play two ways? There were 2 years in with the Angels where he really did it. It was 21 and 22, where he made like legit, like 25 plus starts, played in like 150 plus games as a hitter, which I think is fair enough to say, sure, you're a two-way player at that point. He won the MVP one of those years, and he came in second in MVP and fourth in Cy Young another one of those years, which was the year that Aaron Judge broke Roger Maris's record for single-season home runs in the American League. It's especially important to mention, in the American League. But yeah, that was kind of the last time that we saw Ohtani do it at this level. I'm not concerned with the hitting this year because this is a new strategy that no Ohtani team, that the Dodgers are using this year, that no Ohtani team in the past has ever used. Because now, Jason, and he's pitching so well, he's the best freaking pitcher in baseball right now, outside of like maybe Jose Soriano, if you really want to make that argument. But I don't think Jose Soriano is going to stick around. The Dodgers doing this thing where Ohtani is only hitting 4 of every 5 days and not hitting on the days when he's pitching has been very, very interesting, Jason. And I think when you're seeing the hitting start to decline just a little bit, it's solely a result of look at the pitching numbers. The guy is very clearly focused on pitching right now. He's got the hitting on the back burner. We'll get back to that in a second. But yeah, no, I have no concerns about Shohei Ohtani. I do think the hitting will come back around eventually. And as long as he's pitching like this, you can't take him out of a lineup.
Four hits in the month of May so far for Ohtani as we enter May 12th on the calendar. Bunch of strikeouts too here over the last five or six games, over the last five games for Ohtani as well. And again, he's 31 years old, you know, at 26, 27, you know, doing the two-way player thing. I have always wondered how long that was a viable option for a guy. And I know we all like to think of, everybody likes to knock baseball players for, you know, whatever reason about the fact that, you know, the game is slower, you get a lot of rest time, that sort of thing. I just wonder if there is a shelf life to how long he can be as good as he could possibly be at one or the other. I mean, great. Here's the question. I think this is also a very interesting question, Sam, which is why I'm going to posit it to you. Where is he more important to this team right now? I think it's as a starter.
Yeah. 100%.
Because that lineup is so deep. I think that lineup is so deep that, you know, especially once they're all healthy and everybody's on board, that he's more valuable to them as a pitcher, which is kind of crazy to think when you think of the prolific numbers that he's put up, the 50-50 and all of that, that he's actually more valuable to that team. And I think they have to actually think about that a little bit and almost work his schedule in such a way that they have him as that ace pitcher. Because look at, not for nothing, and I have pointed this for a while, they've got a Roki Sasaki problem. That guy, it's just not happening when it comes to Roki Sasaki, who continues to struggle now with an ERA, I think, of like 5.5, something like that. It points to the fact that Ohtani is even more valuable to that team right now as a starting pitcher than he is anything else, Sam.
Yeah, the Sasaki thing has been an abject disaster. There's no beating around that bush. It's a bust, right? And when you are as active in the international market as the Dodgers are, you're going to run into those sometimes. And you just kind of got to... For every Yoshinobu Yamamoto, there's a Roki Sasaki, right? And as unfortunate as that is, it is the reality of that kind of game that we play within baseball. I think, Jason, one of the points that has been made is that the greatness of Shohei Ohtani with the bat, what you're speaking to, right? The 50-50 season, the guy who's a six war player with a bat in his hand basically every single season he's on a baseball field, has over the course of his career completely taken away from how great of a pitcher this guy has always been. In any season where he's thrown over 100 innings, his ERA has never been above 3.2. That is elite of the elite stuff. He has always been one of these best pitchers in Major League Baseball. Now he's just the best, and it's giving people that window to kind of critique his other non-pitching abilities.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting to watch. I mean, they have their hands full out there in the West with the Padres, as the Yankees, who have lost four in a row out in the East, have had their hands full with the Tampa Bay Rays, who are somehow in first place, despite the fact the Yankees played all this great baseball as of late. Odds and Ends is right around the corner. Welcome back. Just about time to put the wraps on this baby for a Tuesday. Tomorrow on the show, our usual suspects. Sam is off. Kurt Heelan will be here, pro basketball talk at NBCSports.com, breaking down the NBA. David Ardsma will be here, former big league reliever and closer. See who he can piss off this week, because apparently last week it was Trevor Bauer. Yes, that Trevor Bauer, the one pitching in the Atlantic League for that vaunted Long Island Ducks team. That Trevor Bauer was a little bit out of shape over a conversation that David Ardsma and I had last week on the show. We'll get to that tomorrow. I've intentionally not said anything pretty much about it all week, or to start the week. We'll get into it tomorrow on the show, because we got under his skin with something we discussed last week. And why he even came after me, I have no idea, when I was the one that was kind of defending the idea that somebody should at least bring him in and give him a workout, put him in double A or triple A and see if he could still pitch at the major league level. I don't know. Guess nobody needs pitching. Or nobody needs Trevor Bauer, and there's reasons for that. So anyway, we'll get into that tomorrow on the show. A couple of reminders before we go. If you haven't done so yet, make sure to subscribe to the Sports Wrap with Jason Page podcast. It's available on all your favorite podcasting platforms. You can listen to this show in its audio form, just like this, Monday through Friday, wherever you get your podcasts, 45 minutes, largely commercial-free. Take the commercials out for the exception of a couple of ads in there so we make some money. The Sports Wrap with Jason Page podcast. Again, all your favorite podcasting platforms, subscribe today. The Sports Wrap with Jason Page YouTube channel is the place to find all things Sports Wrap with Jason Page. Monday through Friday, TV version of the show, waiting there for you. 45 minutes commercial free every afternoon. What's better than that? The Sports Wrap with Jason Page YouTube channel, extended conversations, clips from the show. Sports Wrap shorts are there. These are 1 to 3 minute long videos talking about the top stories of the day, the biggest games every night. You can always rely on Sports Wrap shorts, again, on the YouTube channel. Sports Wrap shorts also available on our TikTok, Sports Wrap Jason Page, and on our Instagram, Sports Wrap Jason Page. And now, without any further delay, on this Tuesday edition of the show, it's time for some odds and ends. Odds and ends, we have information for you today. The NFL schedule comes out on Thursday. And of course, we're off this week, Thursday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday. I'll tell you more about that tomorrow on the show. We're going to be off for a few days. I'm not going on another cruise, I can promise you. But I got some stuff to take care of back east, family, business, stuff like that. So we'll have best ofs running Thursday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday next week. So we'll have to react to the NFL schedule stuff through Sports Wrap Shorts, social media, all of that stuff. So make sure you are following us there. The NFL announced yesterday that the first Sunday night football game of the season will be the Cowboys and the Giants, meeting up at MetLife Stadium. I asked the question yesterday, and I think it's a valid one, to ask, which team will actually be the better team? And I think it's, as on the surface, you think, oh, it's got to be the Cowboys, right? Look at how bad the Giants were last year. The Giants have done a lot of upgrading. They've brought in John Harbaugh, another year for Jackson Dart. Cam Scadaboo comes back healthy. Hell, they're even talking about getting the band back together and bringing Odell Beckham Jr. back. Which seems kind of nuts. But Giants are talking about a bunch of different things, and their fan base is obviously excited. I still think the Cowboys are the better team this year, but it's a lot closer than people think. They'll meet in the first Sunday night game on September 13th. Then the news comes out today, the first Monday night football game of the season, and this will be a barn burner. Hey, kids, get around, a barn burner. It'll be the Chiefs and the Broncos meeting up in Monday Night Football on ESPN. And, you know, look, this could be the last time. You know, you think about this Chiefs franchise, which is sort of in a transitionary stage. Still got Travis Kelce. You still got Patrick Mahomes. But, you know, we're starting to get into a time and a conversation where you can begin to have a conversation about what the future of this franchise looks like beyond Patrick Mahomes, beyond Travis Kelce. And this week one matchup, I think, is so intriguing for that reason. Watching these two teams, the Broncos, who think they're the future of the AFC West, versus the present and past in the Kansas City Chiefs. Going to be a fascinating watch on week one. Odds and ends. Let's talk about the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs for a moment. One game to talk about from last night, and that was the Avalanche winning again. 5-2 the final score. They broke a 2-2 tie in this game and didn't look back. By the way, sorry for you if you had the under 6.5. The empty netter here. Oh, the empty netter here to finish it off and make it 5-2 Avalanche is a crusher if you have the under 6.5 goals. Like in the NBA, where we feel like we're on a collision course for Knicks Thunder, it feels like in the NHL we're on this same collision course for Hurricanes Avalanche in the Stanley Cup Final. There's one team in both the NBA and NHL that could be the fly in the ointment for that, and it's in the NBA, the San Antonio Spurs, and in hockey, and in the NHL, rather, it would be the Las Vegas Golden Knights. Those are the two potential, you know, monkey wrenches that could get thrown into this thing as we close out both of those seasons. It's going to do it for us. Thanks to Sam Yarnell. Thank you to Robin Lumberg, all of you at home for watching. I'm Jason Page. We'll see you back here tomorrow.